Welcome to It's a Crazy World, where musicians discuss the unique lifestyles of today's artists. If you want to know how to get through the craziness of the world of music as you reach for your dreams, you won't want to miss this episode of It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
Welcome, 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 everyone. Thank you for listening to It's a Crazy World talk show. This is success coach Cynthia McIntosh, and my hope and dream for this show is that as you're listening to it, it's going to empower you, and it's going to invigorate you, and it's going to revive your vision for your future. Being a performing artist is not always easy. In fact, most of the time it's not. Overcoming some of the obstacles that come your way is sometimes very, very difficult. Finding the right people to support you is often very difficult. As a success coach to performing artists, it's always exciting to me to hear stories of artists who have been able to overcome the obstacles, have been able to create their vision, and are finding their road to success and achieving the dreams that they're working so hard for. My passion in life is to be part of the success of performing artists and to see them succeed. Our guest today is going to share her story and how she overcame her fears, how she created her vision, and how she was able to achieve her dreams. It's an exciting story, so I'm looking forward to having her share it with all of you. And of course, we're going to be sharing some of her music as well. So stay tuned, and we'll be back with you and Aranka right after this.
Sharks, storms, sails torn, wind blows.
We're back with more It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
Welcome to the It's a Crazy World show. Today we are talking to a new friend of mine, Aranka. And we were just listening to her song, Dreamland. Hi, Aranka. How you doing?
Great. How you doing, Cynthia?
I'm doing wonderful. Aranka is a composer, a producer, and a performer. And I was just talking to her about the instruments that she plays, and there's a list, so I'll let her tell you about it. But first off, let me ask you, where are you from?
So I'm originally from Belgium.
Ah, okay.
I'm half Czech and half American, so I'm really mixed background, very multicultural. And then I went to England and France, and then I ended up in Nashville. So
now you're in Nashville.
Yes, a little bit of world traveling there.
Yeah, that's for sure. How long have you been in Nashville now?
5.5 years.
Oh, okay. So you've been here a while. And what are you doing in Nashville?
So I came specifically for the music industry. I mean, I considered LA and New York too, but it was, I consulted my savings account and told me I was crazy. You know, when you're moving from Europe and you don't have a job or a car or a place to live or anything, you know, and I didn't know anybody in those cities. So I just decided to be a little more reasonable and start with Nashville, and that's where I ended up.
Wow. Well, it's been good to you, though.
Yes. Yes. I knew nothing about Nashville, but, you know, I knew that they had music studios and people who... I just wanted to be close to people who made a living in the music industry.
Right.
So I could learn how to make a living in the music industry, and found a great, great network of people here.
Well, wonderful. When did you know that you were going to be an artist?
Well, I was a child with a very crazy, wild imagination, like most children, I guess. I don't know. And I think I know when I was 5 that I always wanted to be an artist. But, I just love everything. I mean, I used to paint and dance and do silly faces in the mirror and... And, you know, dream about being an actress and learning how to a horseback ride or whatever you call it in English.
Right.
I mean, I always, you know, I loved singing and dancing, and that's kind of what I did to express myself.
Uh-huh. Did you ever end up dancing professionally at all?
I did actually gymnastics for most part of my life.
Oh,
I did,
you did.
A few dancing as well, but for me, dancing was something that, you know, came from within me, and I was one of those people that didn't really like to be told what to do, and I did a little bit of ballet, but I got thrown out of class. Because I was yawning. I mean, it was like a little too rigid for me, you know, I was like, my free spirit couldn't, you know, I was like, what's her problem for, you know, throwing me out just because I yawned and didn't put my hand in front of my mouth or something. It was very, very conservative like that, if you know what I mean.
Oh, wow, that's funny.
So I just, yeah, you get the picture of what kind of child I was.
I
always wanted to be an artist, but I just didn't know. I didn't even know that it was possible. Like, I didn't know that was a career, or, you know, how to do it. Like, there's no school for artists per se. You know, it was very vague.
Uh-huh.
I just knew that that's what brought the most joy to my life.
Right, right.
You know?
And so your strengths ended up being piano and guitar, correct?
I when I was very little, I kind of wanted to do everything my brother did, and my parents, you know, they signed my brother for piano lessons when he was maybe 6 or so, and I said, I want to learn piano too. And I was 2 years behind, so there I started, you know, playing piano when I was 4, and, you know, they try to get you to play some classical music and you have no idea what it's supposed to sound like because you're 4 years old and your fingers barely fit, you know, on the piano. But anyway, that's kind of when I started, and I just, because I'm a very stubborn person, I just stuck to it. Actually, it took me 3 years before I could actually enjoy it, because it takes a while before you actually can play decently to actually enjoy what you're playing, right?
Right, right. The competition with your brother, I guess, set in, huh?
Well, he was the kind to abandon everything after 1 year. So
oh,
kind
did
of
he really?
Yeah, well, he came back to it later, but it's really funny because, like, he would always start something, and then, you know, a year later, he would he would stop and I would continue going on. So by the time I was 12, I had so many hobbies. I mean, my parents were like, you know, you have to choose. Like, you can't do all this stuff after school because you have homework to do, you know?
Right.
And I was like, no, it was like the toughest thing to decide what to. I mean, I had, geez, I had flute and judo and gymnastics and piano and music. I mean, I had everything.
Wow.
Crazy. So I love learning. I just have a very curious mind, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So you landed on art, obviously. You landed on music. Do you still paint or anything like that?
If I had, you know, an extra 24 hours in a day, I would, maybe.
Yeah.
I feel like the reason why I chose music is, I mean, I've always been attracted to other forms of art, like I explained, you know. Mm-hmm. I love video and film and stuff like that. But I thought, as a music artist, I can do pretty much all of it. I mean, I design posters, so that's kind of like painting, you know.
Right.
I design my website, I design, you know, flyers or whatever, or do pictures. I do music videos, you know, and then you can do like stage, you know, stage props and stage attires, I mean, you know, choreography, you can add dancing. Like, you can do pretty much all the arts when you do music.
Right.
If you succeed as a musician.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. So what projects have you done so far up to this point?
I've put out an EP that I produced myself, and that was in 2014. Now I've remastered it and I'm working on some new songs, and then I've concentrated mainly on playing live shows and putting together a live show that I can tour with, but just by myself, because, you know, having musicians band members to tour with makes just everything more complicated.
Yeah, now I hear rumors that you are putting together a tour right now for this year, for coming out to the Los Angeles area.
Yes, yes, I would love to come back. I was there in end of 2014, and that was kind of my first big tour adventure, and I had no experience with touring, and I took out, you know, my little Ford Escort stick shift from 97 and drove it all the way to San Francisco. And, you know, it's a 36-hour drive.
Yeah.
From Nashville. Yeah. And I did that by myself. And I was like, geez, I completely overestimated.
How did it go?
It was very tiring. I mean, it went. I mean, I'm still alive and made it back.
I guess it can't be too terrible if you're looking forward to coming back to California. It couldn't have been too bad.
Well, I decided that I would not do it by myself. You know, the drive between Dallas and Phoenix is 16 hours, you know,
right.
And I was like, well, that's a day. I mean, I can do that in a day, you know. But I seriously needed, like, a serious back massage after a few hours.
Yeah, you're not quite ready to jump up on the stage and perform after that, are you?
Well, I've actually had to do that a few times. Like, for instance, driving down to New Orleans, I drove 8 hours, and then bam, an hour show.
Wow.
Like, having to set up, you know, carry everything out and set everything up for yourself, you know, like the one band thing. But it's, you know, it's rewarding when people appreciate, you know, what you bring. But it is definitely not as glamorous as people might think, because they only see the show part. They don't see the...
Oh, isn't that true? That's so true. Well, it's time to take a break, but when we get back, we are going to be talking more to Aranka about her journey in the music industry. So we'll be back with Aranka and you right after this.
It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Success Coach Cynthia McIntosh. If you could wave a magic wand to make your life anything you wanted it to be, what would that look like? How would it feel? What would be the changes you would see? If you're ready to make those changes and overcome all your obstacles, give us a call. I would love to be part of your success. You can reach us at 866-636-4696, or you can visit our website at successwithmcintosh.com.
The Internet. The new landscape continues to grow, but bad behavior in the world of social media hurts more than you think. Young people affected by online bullying and social isolation often get poor grades, have low self-esteem, skip school, and in some cases are depressed, violent, and even commit suicide. Well, Beyond Differences and I Keep Safe are changing that, providing tools like 10 deep breaths to help teens manage both on land and online. Take anger down a notch and take kindness up. Beyond Differences is a peer-led group dedicated to ending social isolation, offering tools to build healthy relationships online. Learn more at beyonddifferences.org and join others in taking the pledge at wearekindonline.com.
We're back with more It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
Welcome back to It's a Crazy World. This is Cynthia, and today we are talking to Evrenka. So yeah. What do you feel has been your biggest accomplishment up to this point?
I think actually playing out live and touring has been my biggest accomplishment because I had terrible stage fright. I mean,
oh,
you know, you see
good
me
for
now.
You. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you see me now in 2017 and you think, there's no way this girl had stage fright.
How did you overcome it?
Well, I had this, you know, like a lot of musicians, I just like played to myself in my bedroom and thought I was going to be discovered on YouTube by some miraculous thing, you know, and, you know, by having zero videos on YouTube, you know.
It only takes one to get discovered, right?
That's right. Well, I, you know, I uploaded a few, but, you know, you think, okay, you know, it's going to go, well, it's not going to go viral, but... I mean, it could, but, like, you know, you have these... I was, like, what I call a bedroom performer.
Right.
And you can... I mean, you can do live shows now from your bedroom, which is fantastic, but, you know, at the time, I was, like, I was terrified at singing in front of everybody because part of my story is that, you know, a lot of people actually tried to prevent me from pursuing this.
Yeah.
And so, you know... Actually, my older brother tried to make me shut up for, like, pretty much all my childhood. So I was singing to myself very, very quietly, and I was just writing songs, you know, in my bedroom. And you know, first job I came to United States, it was, like, serving pizzas, you know, because you gotta do what you gotta do to pay your rent.
Very true.
And, and, you know, customers were like, oh, you came here, you know, from Belgium to pursue music. Well, sing us something. And I mean, I swear to God, like, my mind went blank.
Oh,
I didn't know a single song. I mean, you know, it's crazy. You know how that works? You know how your mind can play tricks on you like that. And then I tried to, you know, network and meet people and try to, you know, find vocal coaches that could help me or whatever, or find, like, songwriters that could help me finish my songs and produce them. And I met this guy called Doug Cahan, which, you know, with whom I co-wrote Dreamland. And he asked me where I was playing live, and I was like, well, I don't really play live. And he's like, well, how serious are you as an artist then? You know, if you don't play live, you know, how are you going to get signed if nobody can ever hear you? They're going to ask you, you know, where can I come and listen to your show? You're not going to have anything, you know?
Right.
Or are you going to be in the room there and they'd be like, well, let me hear you sing your song. You're not going to be able to sing in front of them because you're not used to it. And I was like, he's right.
And
I can't get somebody to, like, kick my butt, you know, if I can say that on your awesome show. Yeah, I was like, okay, I need somebody to actually, you know, kick me in the butt and do something about it. So by that time, I was actually a ballroom dance instructor, and I had long, long hours where I would, you know, finish at 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. or something. But I decided to actually push myself to sing outside of my bedroom in a public space.
Ooh.
So I took my guitar and I went to the park after it was closed, and a few times I got kicked out. But we're not gonna get there. But yeah, I went to this, like, little amphitheater thing at the public park thing, you know, Or I was just, like, pretending like I was singing to, you know, an audience of ghosts. I was
well,
like,
good for you.
436 ghosts tonight.
Good for you. I'm impressed.
Yeah, just to get used to that, you know, to play your instrument outside of your bedroom.
Right.
And after that, I was like, okay, I need to get ready to go to an open mic. So, yeah, so I just, you know, needed to go and sing a couple of my songs at an open mic. So I just did that to get ready for that. And, you know, the first time I went to the open mic, I wanted to, you know, puke. And I felt horrible. I got on stage and I forgot the chords of my song. And, you know, you went through all of that. But it was just all about learning how to manage my nerves and being conscious of
right.
it, you know, and just, like, learning how to breathe and relax and, you know, kind of like coach myself through it. You know what I'm saying? Like if your best friend was there, they would say, you're going to be all right. You're going to be just fine, you know, but sometimes you just have to say that to yourself.
Right.
You know?
Right. And you know, if you don't say it to yourself, it doesn't matter how many people say it to you, you're not going to believe it. So it's important to talk to yourself that way too.
Exactly. So
really
I just
is.
Was trying to be like extra gentle with myself, because that, you know, that was not my biggest skill up to that point. And so yeah, after a few open mics, I did this jazz workshop thing where I was with a bunch of teenagers. And then they had like a little recital at the end.
Uh-huh.
A friend of mine came to that and he's like, oh, but you sing in French. It would be perfect for you to go and sing in this Cajun restaurant, and I know the owner, you know? And I was like, okay. So I went to meet with the manager of the restaurant. It was on a Wednesday, and it was July 2nd. And he wanted me to play a three-hour show on...
Oh, my goodness.
Friday, July 4th.
Wow. Yeah, and that brings up, you do sing in other languages as well.
Yes, because I, you know, in Belgium, my first language was French.
Right.
So that's kind of how it all happened. I was like, well, moment of truth. I mean, either
right.
I'm a professional or I'm not. So I just pretended like I've had tons of experience. I just shook the owner's hand as confidently as I could, and I was like, deal.
So what other languages do you sing in?
I actually have a Christmas concert that I do in four languages every year.
Wow.
Which kind of brings the cultures together for me around this one, you know, holiday that's celebrated across the world. It's very multicultural. So I
right.
sing Christmas carols in French, Czech, Spanish, and English. I actually speak all four languages.
Uh-huh.
And then recently, somebody asked me to do a show in Italian.
Wow.
And so I knew a few Italian songs, so I was like, okay, so now I can add Italian to the list of languages.
Well, we're going to go to a break, and we are going to hear one of your songs. We are going to be listening to Come See, and so we're going to get to hear you in something other than English. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Ironka right after this.
More It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh is coming right up.
Tous mes soucis. Sans arrêt harcelé, se sentant observé, à force de te mêler, tu n'as fait qu'aggraver tout ce que tu vas proposer. Je vais nier en beauté, je ne suis toujours pas disposé. Pas disposé à t'écouter, non. Comme si c'est toi qui pouvais changer ma vie. Comme si c'est moi qui en avais l'envie. Comme si, comme ça on t'ouvrira l'infini. Comme quoi, laisse-moi gérer seul tous mes soucis.
We're back with more It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
We are back with Ivanka, and we were just listening to Come See. This is a song that she wrote, so I wanted to give her a chance to tell you a little bit about the song, because there's an interesting story behind it.
Yeah, so Come See is actually the first song that I wrote, and I was 17, and but up to that point, I had only been writing poetry, so it kind of really came to me, I say magically, because I had no idea how the melody happened to be imagined in my head, but it just came like pretty much all in one piece. And at that time, I didn't know how to record music, so it stayed in my head for years. I mean, I had written down the words, but it stayed in my head for years before I could actually record it. So it's pretty, for me, it's pretty amazing that, you know, it's I could remember the melody and everything for all these years.
Yeah.
And at that time, I was, you know, about the subject of the song. At that time, I was really in a dark place in my life. I was 17, and I was going through, you know, teenage troubles.
Yeah.
Running away from home and trying to figure out, I mean, a lot of people, like I explained earlier, were trying to prevent me from going the route that I wanted to. And, you know, you're 17, you can't legally leave home yet.
Right.
So the system was against me, everything was against me, and this song was basically about saying nobody can change my life. Like, I'm responsible for the choices I make, and people have to give me some space and time to figure it out by myself. So the chorus says, you know, as if you were the one who could change my life, as if I was the one who wanted it, like this, like that, we can flee endlessly, as you see, let me sort out my trouble by myself. And all those lyrics, actually, you can see all the translation in the caption on the YouTube video for all our English speaking listeners. That's one of the first songs that I ever wrote. And the music video was filmed here in Nashville in summer 2000. 15, and it's about this girl who, you know, she runs away from home, and then she becomes this superhero, you know, in her own little world outside, where she can discover herself and meet the you know, make friendships with people who understand her. And then she gets caught and put back at home, and, you know, she kind of loses her superpowers.
Wow. How does it make you feel to watch a video like that of a song that you wrote that has so much meaning to you?
It's a dream come true, honestly, because, if you had told me when I was stuck in Belgium, not knowing anybody in the music industry or any connection or whatsoever, that, you know, I would be making my own music video and recording my own song. And I mean, I would have probably not believed you, because it was like, how? So it's amazing, with technology nowadays that you can do that. I mean, I shot it, you know, with some friends of mine. I had to kind of coach them how to hold a camera. because a lot of people hold the cameras vertically, you know?
right.
So I was like, no, this is a horizontal video, okay? And it was really funny, because a lot of the shots were done in subjective camera, which means that you see through my eyes, which I love, you know, because I want people to get my experience as a human being, you know, to see things through my eyes. So I had my friend holding up his phone camera under my chin, you know.
Oh, wow.
and you know, when I was moving around, he would have to like accompany my movement. It was kind of funny.
And you're working on a video right now for the song you mentioned earlier, Dreamland, correct?
Yes, Dreamland. Well, Come See was kind of like my trial, where I just work out the kinks. You know, I was like, my first music video, I'm just going to get some experience. That's why I did it like very low budget.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, just to have some experience under the belt. And then this new video, I wanted to actually have, you know, an actual production team that would help me through it.
Okay.
And I wanted to also have the support of my fans, because I spent all these years touring now for 2.5 years. Around the United States and meeting so many awesome people, and I just wanted to let them inside the creative process.
Right.
You know? So I actually crowdfund that music video, which is the crowdfunding campaign is still ongoing, and you can go to my website, blackswanworld.com, and there's a link to the music video crowdfunding page. And I raised some funds, and then I wanted to actually, you know, shoot it in a real studio. It actually has a really cool concept, where I fell in love with the art of body painting neon colors, like that glow under black light. So because this music video is very dreamy and artsy and very metaphorical, it's kind of this, you know, this dream world. It's called Dreamland. I'm going to be completely body painted with like glowing body paint. And it's going to be completely shot under black light.
Oh, wow.
On a boat, you know, in the dark. And I'll be dancing and stuff. So I want, you know, for that kind of concept, you have to have somebody who knows what they're doing to shoot, you know, under those conditions.
And what's the goal for that video? When do you expect to have it done?
I actually have a meeting with the video production team tomorrow, and we'll decide on a shoot date. So it's actually really very, 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 very soon.
Yeah.
I would say within the next couple of weeks, or within a month at the maximum, we'll be done shooting. And then they said it will take about a week to edit.
Oh, okay. So, well, congratulations. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's exciting. And so once that's done, how are you going to celebrate?
Well, I was thinking it would be really cool to actually do, you know, a video premiere party with my, you know,
there you go.
Fans. And I mean, I'm looking forward to this. I mean, I can't wait to move on to actually, you know, working on my new album. And this video is concluding kind of my EP chapter, you know, because of my second song on my EP. So after releasing this video, I'll be kind of turning a page, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, congratulations. That's really exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited about it too. And you know, if you go on my Facebook page, you see like you can see the trials of the design, the face paint design that I did. And I'm also like I painted my hand, but I painted two fingers black, so it looks like I have three fingers. You know, because I'm gonna have like it's actually gonna be a creature look, if that makes sense. So the paint is gonna change my facial features. You know what I'm saying? My body features. So it's gonna be on the artsy side for sure.
Artistic people are so much fun. I gotta love you. That is so awesome.
I'll show you the link when I'm done, okay?
Absolutely. I would love that. So what are your plans for doing? I know we talked about a tour in the LA area in fall. Do you have any plans at all as far as knowing when you're going to come out or where you're going to be? Is any of that put together yet, or is that still all being worked out?
No, it really depends on, you know, what dates I can get booked and stuff. And you know, LA, just like Nashville, those big music cities are very hard to book or get a hold of.
Right.
The venue. So I mean, actually, I'm going to just, I like to put my fans to work, and I tell them, you know, if you want me to come to your city, you know, just book a show for me there and I'll come.
Okay, everyone, you heard it. So when you're listening, if you're from LA, you know what you need to do. You
exactly,
got it.
It's so much easier, you know, like, you know, face to face. If you walk into a venue and you can talk directly to the booking person or the owner or whatever, it's just so much easier to do that via email. These people, they get bombarded. I mean, thousands and thousands of artists want to play there. So right. You don't even know if they open your email, if it ended up in, you know, some dark spam box thing. I actually have a lot of people in LA that, you know, they want to see me. They kind of, I didn't even know when I was there in 2014. So, it, you know, it's just also, I'm not going to just drive to LA. I'm going to stop in all the cities in between.
So what is your dream vision for the next year?
Well, the video is going to be a big dream come true. And then working on the album for sure, but I also want to play north. I would like to go to Canada and New York and that those areas.
Uh-huh.
So I'm planning on possibly doing that in June and July.
Oh wow.
Or even August.
Uh-huh.
And then California would be maybe like September or October.
Oh, okay. And so then, you're trying to put together a full tour, basically, then. East Coast and West Coast.
Yes. Well, I actually already have played in 15 states so far. Actually, I love touring, but I've mainly played in the South, you know, so I hit up all the Southern states. You know, I kind of want to branch out now because I've played these markets for the last 2.5 years. And, you know, since I sing in French and English, my show is in French and English because I have a few songs in French. A lot of people said, well, they would love you in Canada. They would love you in New York, you know?
Right.
So I would kind of like to go see what the response there is from the audience, you know, from an audience perspective. Because definitely there's areas that, you know, your music can fit better than others.
Right. You have a target market. So if you look at your past, you look at everything you've gone through, you've obviously been very successful and stuck with it no matter how hard it got. And you're making it. You're finding the success you've been working so hard for. What would you say was your biggest obstacle in getting to where you are today?
Me.
Now that is probably the most honest answer I've ever heard anybody give me on that question. That's funny.
We can definitely stand in our own way, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
I think because a lot of people have told me that it was a crazy idea.
Right.
You know, you have to kind of like, you kind of sometimes you're like, yeah, maybe they're right. And you kind of stand in your own way by doing that because
sure.
you kind of like surrendered to other people's image of you.
Right.
You know, or their projections of what you can or can't do. So, you know, my brother telling me that I was incapable of singing in front of an audience, you know, kind of all has been something I have been fighting against, even though, you know, I'm not living with my brother anymore.
Right. And isn't it amazing that when you're around people like that, even after you've proven them wrong, that voice is still in your head. Even while you're standing up there singing and having your moment, you can still hear that voice saying, "You can't do this. You can't do this," as you're doing it. It just,
exactly.
It just really, you have to work at making that go away and shut that voice up. It's amazing how it just, it doesn't listen to reality at all, does it?
Exactly. So, like, you know, people say, "Oh, you have such a beautiful voice." And I'm like, "Well, that's weird, because that's not what I heard when I was a kid." You mentioned about, like, cultural differences between Europe and the United States, and we didn't even get to talk about that yet. But, you know, I learned so many cool little sayings that they say here in the United States that really helped me. This, like, so American mentality that you never hear in Europe. Fake it till you make it.
Right, right.
I never heard that before, but I was like, there is a part of that. Because you kind of have to, like, you know, like, I went to shake this owner's, Cajun restaurant's owner's hand and telling him I could do a show for, you know, 3 hours, 2 days, two days later. Well, I kind of faked it then, you know, but I did it. But you have to do that to keep pushing forward. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I think fake has a bad connotation to it. When people say that, obviously you know what they mean by that. But the reality is you do need to just step out there and believe in yourself, whether you've done it before or not.
Yeah. Well, fake it till you make it, I think, goes hand in hand with success is preparation meets opportunity, you know?
Right.
Where, you know, it's not because just because you have the opportunity, you also have to be prepared for the opportunity to succeed.
Very true. Very true. What do you think has been your greatest strength in arriving where you are today? What do you think has gotten you there?
Stubbornness.
And what do you think sets you apart from other artists who are struggling and have not made it yet?
I think it's being able to assess yourself without being destructive.
Good answer.
So, for instance, you know, I was able to tell myself, okay, you need to work on, you know, your stage presence, or you need to work on your songwriting in English because it's not my native language. But I don't do it in a, "Oh, you've never played live, you'll never be able to do it, you know, like, you're so lame because, you know, you're old and you haven't done it till now, and all these 15-year-old kids, you know, they already they're playing on American Idol, and who do you think you are to think that, you know, now, you know, like, everybody thinks always it's too late, blah blah blah." But at some point you have to kind of baby yourself through it, you know, and be like, "Okay, these are my strengths. I know how to play piano. Now, I don't know how to play my own song live, so let's work on that." Mm-hmm. You know? So knowing what your strengths are, but also the things that you can learn. Like, I learned web design, you know? I mean, I didn't think I was going to end up being a web designer, but I wanted to have a website for my music, so I learned it.
Right.
I learned so many other things. I learned how to pick up a phone and cold call somebody. For the sake of pushing my art forward, I did so many things that I never thought in my life that I would do. You know, I'm not a salesperson. I never thought I was going to be a salesperson, but I do have to sell myself. I do have to walk up to somebody and offer my CD if they want to purchase it, you know?
Right.
I think it is, you know, understanding as an independent artist how much more there is to it than just the music, and then learning everything else.
Very, very good point. Right.
Yes. For the sole purpose of having, you know, an opportunity to play a show live and have people hear you.
You're very right. It's really important to learn the business aspects of being an artist. It's not all just fun and games. There's a lot of competition out there, and you do need to learn the things that you need to know in order to be successful. That's very true. You need to be teachable. Well, we're going to take a break, but we will be back with Arenka and you right after this.
It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, adventurous, they come my way. I'm foreign fruit, a challenging route to tame. If you want to entertain, I won't complain. Now move your pawn and take me out of the mundane. But let's just go ahead and make something clear. I'm no beginner in this game, my dear. So if you think I'll let you in so you can go and flatter your ego on the fantasy I'm serving you, you well delude your fear. Just a friendly game. So don't you say you wanna love me like I deserve. It's fire consuming what I paint in my mirror. I know better, and yes, I'll take the blame.
With more It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
Welcome back to the show. Today we are talking to Arenka. It has been a really interesting show. We were just listening to the song I Don't Need No Lover by Arenka. So what's the story behind that one?
Oh. Well, we've been talking about a lot of, you know, struggles for the music industry and everything, but this is a song more about my personal life, and, you know, everybody has a
sad
love
story.
History. But that's definitely, you know, departing from all the political stuff here. This song, you know, I've had a few heartbreaks in my life, like I think approximately a majority of people on this planet.
Anybody over the age of 12.
Pretty much. And I don't know. At some point, I just decided it took so much energy from me to invest, you know, yourself emotionally into somebody and so much time, and it doesn't work out. And I just decided, oh, you know, I don't need, you know, I don't need no lover. Uh-huh. I can be independent and all that stuff. But it has this sarcastic tone because we kind of all long for some company, you know? Right. And we long to be understood. We long to connect, you know, we long to have a deeper connection. But it's kind of this person, you know, it's kind of like a cabaret setting, you know, where she's in the bar or whatever, and she's kind of like, she's seducing people, but she doesn't really want to attach herself, or so uh-huh. she says. Does yeah. that make sense?
Yeah.
So you're kind of like guarded, but still, you know, for entertainment purposes, you still want to, you know, play around, have a playful conversation, flirt, maybe.
No, you can do it if you wanted to, huh? That's fun. You know, you brought up a subject earlier in the show that I wanted to go over a little bit because it comes up often, is that it is really important to have the right kind of people around you and have supportive people that are not going to get in the way of you succeeding, that are going to actually be a part of your success, and that you feel the same way about. You're supporting their vision, they're supporting yours.
Yes, that's why I left Europe.
Well, have you had any better success finding people like that in the U.S.?
To a degree, yes. But the mentality is very different. You gotta understand, when I left Europe, there was an economic crash uh-huh. in 2000, you know, 9/11 or whatever. So, but in general, the mentality in Europe is very cynical,
huh.
sarcastic, and critical. You know, they criticize a lot. It's not less entrepreneurial. Hmm. So, I mean, there are maybe some circles that you can find that are more creative, but in general, I tell people, if you tell people in Europe, oh, I have a dream, people are gonna laugh at you.
Uh-huh.
But here, you come here and you say, I have a dream, and everybody's like, oh yeah, what is it? You know?
Wow. That's really interesting, because yeah, that's really, I find that fascinating, because you hear other sides too. I have a lot of artists that tell me, you know, if you ever want to make it in the music industry, you need to get out of the U.S. and go to Europe, because there's so much more accepting of the arts there, and you're not going to get anywhere as long as you're in the United States. So it's, you know, I guess it's all how you look at it. I guess it's all your perception. I think a lot of it is who you're around.
I was going to say that is true if you actually, because like I said, I mean, where I grew up, there is no open mic or bar or restaurant
right.
where there's any live music whatsoever. So once you make it to the point where you are actually on stage, then yes.
So if you met somebody who was just trying to get into the music industry, what would be your word of wisdom to them?
I would say put all your preconceptions aside, and like you said, you know, be teachable and open-minded of all the things that you're going to have to learn, and just not be discouraged. Just, you know, take one step at a time, because it's a long, long road.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, like I said, they just focus on the music, or they just do, you know, music and songwriting, and they play and it's possible to make it that way, but it's, you know, for the majority of people, it's not just going to happen like that.
No,
know?
And it's not all glamour. You have to take the reality.
So,
the business aspects of it are important. And
yes, if it happens, that's great. If it doesn't, prepare yourself in case it doesn't happen to, you know, take the long road and have to put way more work than you thought you would have to put in, you know, just learning how to book a show, learning
right.
how to put a show together, you know, purchasing all your equipment, knowing how to plug in all this sound system stuff. Like, you know, there's just so much to it, learning how to handle social media. You're just going to have to learn way more than you ever thought you'd have to learn, and just not be discouraged if you really, really believe in your art and that you're bringing something positive to the world. You know, that is the purpose. So just serve your purpose.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. And I would like to, before we say goodbye, I would like to give you the opportunity to let our listeners know where they can find you.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me on this show. It was absolutely my honor and delight.
Oh, thank you very much.
My my website is called blackswanworld.com, and you can also just type Irenka, I-R-E-N-K-A, on Google, and I should pop up first in the, you know, in the first five results or so. And then on Facebook, it's Irenka Style. On Twitter, it's Irenka Style. On Instagram, it's Irenka Style. And
I feel a theme coming on.
Well, because I wanted to be more than just Irenka Music. Since I do more than just music, I decided to Irenka Style. You know,
absolutely. I was just messing with you. But yes, that's good branding.
And then expand. So on YouTube, it's youtube.com/C/channel/Irenka.
Okay.
But all the links are on my website. So if you make it to my website, you know, you should be able to find all the links there. And also, very important, I have a mailing list, which I use mainly for my touring. So, you know, I don't bother people all the time. But when I have a show in their area, I send an email, you know, specifically within 50-mile radius of a certain zip code. So if you leave me your email address and name and zip code on the website, I'll give you 3 songs for free. And when I come close to your area, you get a email about my show around your area.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And do be sure to go to my website at successwithmackintosh.com or give us a call at 866-636-4696. And we would love to be part of your success as you reach for the stars. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you here next time. God bless.